Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
All right, don't be shy. Be part of the conversation. It's 888-900-9966. Anything you want to talk about, we can talk about your experiences with Obamacare, like John has done this week with his rates going up 67%. You can talk about your concerns about the Michigan-Michigan State game if you have any. And, of course, you can talk about energy, which we talk about a lot. And in fact, that's what Marita Noon is here to talk about, the author of Energy Freedom. Welcome back, Marita.
Thanks. It's great to be with you again.
I think that we are in the middle of the darkening, which is where we are closing power plants and putting up windmills and putting little propellers on our hats, because that's the way we're going to power the world, our little cute little hats, because common sense in energy policy doesn't seem to exist much on the left. Now, Donald Trump, on the other hand, says let's use coal and natural gas and oil and solar and everything we can think of. Put it all on the table. Let's do it all. And if we can develop renewable energy along the way in a better, more economic fashion, that's great. But let's start with what we have and then build towards the future. What's the right path?
Well, the right path is what is wise for each situation. That's what neither candidate actually is talking about, although, as you mentioned, I certainly support Donald Trump's position far more than Hillary Clinton's position, because each situation, each state, each geography has a different position that needs to be considered. But I love your comment about that we're facing a darkening, and I'm afraid that's what we're going to see in the northern states of the country this year as we head into winter and face a really harsh winter this year, according to the experts that I talk to.
Well, there's a good chance. In fact, the sunspot changes. If you listen to some of the old-timers, they say that we could be heading into about a 10-year period of very cold weather because of changes in sun and solar activity. We'll see. Meanwhile, here in Michigan,
the sun has something to do with the weather?
I know, it's a crazy notion, isn't it, that ocean currents and the jet stream and the way the sun acts actually dictates the ebb and flow of heat on the planet. It's weird, isn't it? It's a little thing I like to call science.
Go figure.
Yeah, it's a little thing I like to call science. They don't care for it much in political circles, but I like it a little bit. But as you look at this, 25 plants here in Michigan, I use Michigan as an example because it's my home, 25 coal-fired power plants being shut down before 2020. Several of those have been closed already this year, more to be closed in the next couple of years. And I'm sorry, I just don't know that we have a backup plan ready all the way through. I mean, Michigan's one of the states that relies heavily on coal, 65% or something of that nature of our power coming from coal-fired power plants. And we're disconnecting. Meanwhile, the grid is outdated in many ways. Rickety might be a word that comes to mind. I think we're setting ourselves up for a big series, not one problem, but a series of problems, Marita.
I'm afraid you're right, because as you said, there's no backup plan for coal. Sadly, I mean, coal does a great job in providing energy that is effective, efficient, and economical for this country. But Hillary Clinton is, as you well know, is determined that she's going to shut down coal-fired power plants. She's going to put coal miners and coal companies out of business.
Yeah, so, okay. So if that follows, well, here's the thing, though. I don't know, and we were just talking about this with the previous guest. Hillary Clinton's going to come into office if she wins, and you know, the odds-on betting today is that she'll come out by a nose. I'm not sure of that, but if she does, let's play the devil's advocate here. If Hillary Clinton wins a week from Tuesday, she's going to be dogged so badly going into office by all of these scandals that just go on and on and on, and you know, they're piling up, and pay-to-play here, and money for Bill Clinton, and uranium here, and Hillary Clinton raising money for the wife of the guy that eventually investigated her at the FBI, and so on and so forth. I don't know that she'll have any political clout left by the 20th of January, even if she does get elected.
Well, it's a good point. There is certainly a lot of stuff that is piling up against her. But, you know, as we've seen with President Obama, with her in the White House, she'll be able to say things. She'll be able to do things like, oh, we're not going to investigate that. We're not going to look at that. And President Obama has certainly covered for her.
Yeah, my point being this. My point being that, you know, her policies, if her policy is to disconnect, you know, coal plants and plug in big windmills or whatever, she may be heavily thwarted on that. I mean, there's be some serious impediments to putting that into place if she has no political clout from day one. I mean, usually a president has something to work with politically when they walk in the White House. If she gets elected, I wonder if she has anything in the gas tank because of the incredible ongoing piles and piles and piles of scandal, Marita. I'm serious. So maybe we don't have the darkening occur quite as quickly at that point, I guess is what I'm hopeful of.
Well, I agree with you. I'm hopeful for that as well, but it all depends on the makeup of the Congress and whether they're going to go along with her or whether they're not. I mean, again, and of course it depends, does she make it into the White House or does she not? And I maintain hope that she does not.
Well, we'll maintain that hope, and I don't know. But right now, I can tell you the good news on the backside of it is that if you look at the Senate races, there is almost no chance that the Democrats are going to pick up the U.S. Senate. In fact, Indiana has now been placed into a toss-up state, which I've said before. Evan Bayh was in trouble in Indiana. Pat Toomey's going to win in Pennsylvania. Burr is going to win in North Carolina. Ayotte is going to win in New Hampshire. They're all ahead in those states. And in Missouri, Blunt's going to win. And in Nevada, Heck's going to win. And in the end, you're going to have 53 Republican senators, which leaves Hillary Clinton with a bare cupboard, if you will. What's she going to do? Throw her weight around with whom exactly? And then in 2 years down the line, you've got 34 senators up for re-election again, 20 of which are Democrats in places like North and South Dakota and other states like Montana where they're going to lose. I mean, it's just a matter of time, and then you wonder what happens from there. Reid, I'll give you 30 seconds for the last word.
Well, 30 seconds for the last word is Michigan has been wise, and every time that wind energy has been before the public for a vote, Michigan has said no to wind energy. And hopefully they'll say no to Hillary Clinton as well.
Well, we'll see what happens, Marita. But either way, we live in interesting times. And I think that's what we're
supposed to do.
We certainly do. Marita Noon, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you much.
Marita, she has written the book, by the way, Energy Freedom. She also serves as executive director for Energy Makes America Great. And doesn't it, though? America runs on vast quantities of cheap energy. It always has. I mean, you can say what you want, but windmills are not going to push 18-wheelers across Nebraska or ships across Lake Michigan. That comes from real fuel, dense fuel. All right, 52 after. It's Free For All Friday.